The Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve, the Fed, is the central banking system of the United States. The Federal Reserve's most critical role is to keep the economy healthy through the proper application of monetary policy. The objective of monetary policy is to influence the country's economic performance in order to promote stable prices, maximum sustainable employment, and steady economic growth. The effort to create a strong central banking system in the United States is a fascinating history that was shaped by competing political ideologies, economic crises, and World War I. The following is a brief timeline of significant events in central banking in the United States. 1791 to 1811, first attempt at central banking. At the urging of then-Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, Congress established the first Bank of the United States, headquartered in Philadelphia, in 1791. It was the largest corporation in the country and was dominated by big banking and money interests. Many agrarian-minded Americans, uncomfortable with the idea of a large and powerful bank, opposed it. When the bank's 20-year charter expired in 1811, Congress refused to renew it by one vote. 1816 to 1836. A second try fails. By 1816, the political climate was once again inclined toward the idea of a central bank. By a narrow margin, Congress agreed to charter the Second Bank of the United States. However, when Andrew Jackson, a central bank foe, was elected president in 1828, he vowed to kill it. His attack on its banker-controlled power touched a popular nerve with Americans, and when the Second Bank's charter expired in 1836, it was not renewed. 1908 to 1912. The stage is set for a decentralized central bank. The Aldrich-Vreeland Act of 1908, passed as an immediate response to the Panic of 1907, provided for the issue of emergency currency during crises. It also established the National Monetary Commission to search for a long-term solution to the nation's banking and financial problems. Under the leadership of Senator Nelson Aldrich, the commission developed a banker-controlled plan. William Jennings Bryan and other progressives fiercely attacked the plan. They wanted a central bank under public, not banker control. The 1912 election of Democrat Woodrow Wilson killed the Republican Aldrich plan. However, the stage was set for the emergence of a decentralized central bank. 1912. Woodrow Wilson as financial reformer. Though not personally knowledgeable about banking and financial issues, Woodrow Wilson solicited expert advice from Virginia Representative Carter Glass, soon to become the chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Finance, and from the committee's expert advisor, H. Parker Willis, formerly a professor of economics at Washington and Lee University. Throughout most of 1912, Glass and Willis labored over a central bank proposal. By December 1912, they presented Wilson with what would become, with some modifications, the Federal Reserve Act. 1913. The Federal Reserve System is born. From December 1912 to December 1913, the Glass-Willis proposal was hotly debated, molded, and reshaped. By December 23, 1913, when President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act into law, it stood as a classic example of compromise. A decentralized central bank that balanced the competing interests of private banks and populist sentiment. Mortgage rates are affected by events in the global financial market. Actions taken by the Federal Reserve have a fairly immediate effect on short-term rates. However, their impact on mortgage rates is generally less direct. The country's economic performance is influenced by many factors, including economic performance abroad, fiscal policy determined by the legislative and executive branches of government, and monetary policy carried out by the Federal Reserve. Price and inflation. When there is an excess supply of money in the market, the result is monetary inflation. Often this is caused when governments, central banks, try to make up for an economic shortfall and print more money, then infuse it into the system, even though the market for goods and services does not necessarily increase at the same time. This creates a devaluation of the money, that is, more money equals less value. There are different types of inflation, demand pull inflation is created when there is more money in the market and fewer goods for sale. Cost push inflation occurs when the costs of production and offering services increase, thereby causing manufacturers and tradespeople slash vendors to raise their prices accordingly. The costs are then passed on to the consumer. How inflation affects real estate pricing and values. As indicated in the previous chapter, many factors work together to determine property price. Supply and demand hold the most significant weight of all of those factors. When there is a high demand for housing, and insufficient housing is available for purchase, housing prices will rise. This high demand and low quantity create an inflated market. Housing prices rise, creating bidding wars. This is often referred to as a seller's market. To meet the demand for housing, developers often overbuild, flooding the market. Overbuilding will create a drop in prices. More available, affordable housing means that potential buyers, who may have been frightened of taking on a high-priced mortgage, will be much more interested in becoming homeowners. The resulting situation is often referred to as a buyer's market. In the real world, markets inflate, deflate, and stabilize regularly. Real estate agents follow the market and counsel sellers to adjust property pricing accordingly. They should also inform buyers that prices will go up and down, and that a home listed 6 months ago may cost more in the future. Remember that real estate license holders should never guarantee that a property will increase in value, much less hold its value. Instruments of credit policy. How the Fed guides monetary policy. The Fed's monetary policy actions affect prices, employment, and economic growth by influencing the availability and cost of money and credit in the economy, which in turn affects the willingness of consumers and businesses to spend money on goods and services. The Fed uses three primary monetary policy tools to influence the cost and availability of credit: open market operations, the discount rate, reserve requirements. Open market operations. The Fed's most flexible and often used tool of monetary policy is open market operations for buying or selling government securities. The Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, sets the Fed's monetary policy, which is carried out through the trading desk of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Suppose the FOMC decides that more money and credit should be available. In that case, it directs the trading desk in New York to buy securities from the open market. The Fed pays for these securities by crediting the reserve accounts of banks involved with the sale. With more money in these reserve accounts, banks have more money to lend, interest rates may fall, and consumer and business spending may increase, encouraging economic expansion. To tighten money and credit in the economy, the FOMC directs the New York Trading Desk to sell government securities, collecting payments from banks by reducing their reserve accounts. With less money in these reserve accounts, banks have less money to lend, interest rates may increase, consumer and business spending may decrease, and economic activity may slow down. The discount rate and federal funds rate. The discount rate is the interest rate a reserve bank charges eligible financial institutions to borrow funds on a short-term basis. This short-term borrowing is secured by the banks collateralizing their existing commercial paper, meaning that the banks are pledging the notes that are payable to them. Unlike open market operations, which interact with financial market forces to influence short-term interest rates, the discount rate is set by the boards of directors of the Federal Reserve Banks and is subject to approval by the Board of Governors. Under some circumstances, changes in the discount rate can affect other open market interest rates in the economy. Changes in the discount rate also can have an announcement effect, causing financial markets to respond to a potential change in the direction of monetary policy. A higher discount rate can indicate a more restrictive policy. In comparison, a lower rate may be used to signal a more comprehensive policy. The federal funds rate is the rate that the Federal Reserve charges banks for unsecured loans, most of which are for a very short term, sometimes overnight. Banks use these short-term loans to meet their liquidity requirements, when withdrawals threaten to exceed cash on hand. Reserve requirements. By law, whether or not they are members of the Federal Reserve System, financial institutions must set aside a percentage of deposits as reserves to be held, either as cash on hand or as reserve account balances at a reserve bank. The Federal Reserve sets reserve requirements for all commercial banks, savings and loans, credit unions, and U.S. branches and agencies of foreign banks. Depository institutions use reserve accounts at Federal Reserve banks not only to satisfy reserve requirements, but also to process many financial transactions through the Federal Reserve, such as check and electronic payments and currency and coin services. Raising reserve requirements reduces the availability of funds for lending, thereby slowing the economy. Lowering reserve requirements increases the availability of funds for lending, thereby accelerating economic activity. Rates are also affected by government spending, borrowing, and the overall state of the economy